Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, folks. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen. We have an exciting program for our listeners today, Dave. We're going to call this one Living for an Overcoming Life. You know, there's a lot of times that we turn to the Holy Spirit, turn to Jesus when we have a time of need. Actually, I think we should be turning to Jesus through the good times and the bad times. However, I have to be honest at the same time, when we have an overcoming difficulty, something that scares us, you're having a health issue, you're having financial losses, anything that is derogatory to your life, it tends to want to bring us closer to Jesus and learn about what he does for us and how it works. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. There are scriptures that support our thought process and our closeness to the Lord. Sometimes it takes the old expression, it takes a two before to the head before you're going to listen properly. Well, sometimes it takes a hard knock when life throws us a curveball and we swing and miss. How do we get back in the groove, and how do we get to living peace and harmony and happiness? Well, you have to overcome these difficulties, and you have to do that through your faith in Jesus. That's our discussion process today. I hope that's not too heavy. What do you think, Dave? Can we make our points to our listeners?
I think it's good. I think it's a
I think
a
they'll want to hear it, yes.
Subject that people will find interesting because they want to know how to live that kind of life.
That's it. I think their curiosity is going to want to lead them into the path of righteousness. Overcomers are the only people rewarded in eternity. If you have to overcome the sin in your life, overcome the shortcomings in your life, you're the one that's going to be rewarded. The Holy Spirit is very reward conscious. He knows the difference between obedience and disobedience, punishment and rewards. That's why he encourages us to hear everything that he has to say to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelations chapter 2, verse 7 says just that. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Psalms 95, verse 7. The Holy Spirit always rewards the obedient. He does not necessarily reward good people, or smart people, or wealthy people. He rewards obedient people. You see, the Holy Spirit wants us all to become an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that's what it says. You see, Jesus taught us that the Holy Spirit was the secret of becoming an overcomer. The Apostle Paul believed that you could be an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. One of the most popular verses in the Bible. And probably I don't even have to tell you what that one is, do I? And most people know Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The Holy Spirit gave you the word of God as a weapon against your enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians wrote that. You'll find that in chapter 6 of Ephesians. You see, the Holy Spirit is able to make you an overcomer. He empowered Jesus to overcome Satan in the wilderness of the temptation. Remember reading that in Matthew? Well, the Holy Spirit knows your season of testing. The Holy Spirit knows the weakness of your enemies. The Holy Spirit knows the weaponry you will need to win any battle you are facing. You see, you can overcome any bad habit or inner grief or chaotic situation through the Holy Spirit. You can overcome any financial crisis or devastation, bankruptcy, illness, sickness, the disease you might have. All that can be overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Always remember, the Holy Spirit will reveal specific wisdoms you require for living an overcoming life. David, in your years of ministry, I would imagine you had many battles to overcome, both personal and professional, with your family, with your friends, with your parishioners. Do you care to share and enlighten us in any of the experiences you might have had where your faith and the Holy Spirit brought you through and allowed you to overcome a difficult situation?
Hey, Giff, I tell you, you got to have the Holy Spirit when you're young. You can't come up 60 years old and finally say, hey, well, what is the Holy Spirit? It was good for us, good for me as a graduate of a Bible college wanting mm-hmm. to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people telling me what to do. And when you go to school, you get into Bible and you get into prayer time and you get into making your life count so that you can be able to speak to people. If your life, you're living in sin, you're not going to be much of a preacher.
That's right.
So I was glad that when I got to school, all these people were telling me what to do. Take this and do that and go mm-hmm. here and go there. And people wanted to tell us. They thought that was the best way. And then all of a sudden, we sit down and said, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to listen to these people. We're going to listen to the president. We're going to go here. Why don't we get down on our knees and say, God, show us the way.
Yep.
Man, that is a big, challenging statement. The Lord hears from all of us. I like to talk to the Lord in just the personal tense, right. Smack in the middle of it. We don't have to, you know, when we graduated, in the next week we're sitting at the school saying, well, you know, we're through graduation, we got the diploma here. What do we do? Man, we were struggling to push everybody else out. Mm-hmm. And when we finally did, we said, we're going to do it God's way. So, and the Holy Spirit is that kind of a person.
Right.
He is, it's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit will come and say, this, do this and that and that. And when you do, it brings you success for all your life.
In every regard.
I feel sorry for people who hear everybody else and they don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit talk to them.
That's right.
And when they do, they'll come up with things that will spend a lifetime working at it and being a part of a happiness in your life like never before.
Dave, we're going to talk about that. You really hit the nail right on the head. If we don't say anything else, I think our listeners got the gist of your point. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you must listen. Let's try to dissect that thought process because I believe that is where the anointing comes from. The anointing that Jesus gives to us is given to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And there's lots of ways that can happen. Let's see if we can't share some of those thoughts. My, there are many. The anointing is the power of God is in a given situation. The anointing, it removes the burdens from your life. It destroys the yoke that the enemies place upon you. You see, the anointing stops any progress that your enemy might have, and it stops them immediately. So you are right, Dave, when you say that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and provides the anointing to overcome life's burdens, you hit the nail right on the head. I have heard several ministers define the anointing as a burden-removing yoke or destroying all the negatives, all from the power of God. Well, those things are true. I think that explains it wonderfully, in fact. And it should come to pass in the day that he is his burden shall be taken away from all of us, taken off our shoulders, and his yoke from around our neck, and the yoke that destroys the negative because of the anointing. That's Isaiah chapter 10 has some scripture about that. that the yoke be removed and that sort of thing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus enables him to heal the sick and to cast out the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power. Who went about doing good and healing all were oppressed by the devil, for God was within him. Acts chapter 10 has words of that nature. The anointing creates fear in the hearts of the demonic spirits. They are subject to the anointing, the power of God. When that anointing begins to flow and be released through you, any plan Satan has any plan that Satan has concocted is immediately sabotaged and destroyed. Satan does not fear you, but rather that anointing which flows through you. That anointing is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit within you. You see what I'm leading to, Dale? I'm trying to share that the Holy Spirit can lead you through it, but you're going to have to reach for it. You have to ask. That's one of the greatest words in the English language is to ask. Ask the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Tell him your concerns, your desires, and it'll be answered. Your prayers will be answered. So I think it's important that we understand that. We have to reach out for that anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have any thoughts in that regard, Dave?
Once you get involved with the Holy Spirit and you believe that God helps you to win and overcome overcoming life. When I was beginning to go overseas in our ministry, I went to 60 countries, and I found out very quickly about demonic spirits.
Oh, okay.
Wow! But I can remember like it was yesterday. You never forget those things.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the prayer room in our church in Barbados, and a lady came in and started praying real loud, real funny prayer, real different. And the pastor came to me, one of the pastors of the church. He said, "Dave, you're looking at a lady that has a demon." And we're going to try and fix it. And
wow.
I said to myself, I believe I'll stand back on this one.
Yeah, let me watch.
And the pastor went up and talked to her for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then prayed and told the demon to come out of her. And she stood right up to him. She yelled and screamed and hollered, and she was not going to come out for love nor money. And the pastor, he didn't give up. He had the Holy Ghost in him. He was filled with the Spirit.
Wow.
He knew how to handle it. He just raised his voice.
Did he?
And spoke loud and clear and demanded that the demon come out.
Wow.
It finally did. I don't know where it went. But all of a sudden, she was as calm as she could ever be. And I stared at it. I said,
"My
God, what's happening?" And the preacher said, "Dave, did you see she's different now? She's calm. She's like normal. She's a normal person." And she was, you know, her mouth was filled with the gushings. What she was screaming at us about what we should be doing about the church. When she finally walked away, we prayed for her, and she came and thanked us. She's crying, thanking us getting rid of the spirit that controlled her. She couldn't live right. Everything came out wrong. And even when she came to church, seeking God, the Holy Spirit was there. The devil's tough.
Yeah.
The devil is tough, and the devil, I'm not talking about you're going to get a demonic spirit coming into your house and your life. You almost have to beg for that if you want that to happen.
Yeah.
Because God protects us. Sure. His Holy Spirit protects us.
Wow.
I haven't thought about that.
What a story.
I haven't thought about that today.
There's a scripture that says that, and I just can't remember at this moment where it's located, where the demonic devil and the Satan was removed from this individual and put into the pigs, and the pigs then were sent over the cliff and into the ocean waters and were drowned.
2,000 pigs.
Yeah, I can't remember where that's located in the Bible. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I remember it.
I can't remember. But that's exactly what you're citing. Those are remarkable situations. I've never had that experience the way you have.
The people didn't like that.
Yeah, no.
That was their pig you just slaughtered.
That's right, yeah.
The water
2,000 pigs are gone.
Right.
That's right.
Get that man out of here. They want to get rid of Jesus.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because they're talking about their hip pocket.
You know, sometimes in the church today, there's some people who aren't openly loud about the devil, but there's some of them have a strange way of dealing with God's people.
Wow.
And that's another whole subject for another whole day.
Yes, it is. Well, it's fascinating, though.
If you come to our house, we'll talk to you about it. We can't spend all day on this.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, Dave. By the way, are you going to Barbados this year?
About 3 weeks away.
Yeah, I know. Are you going?
I couldn't go this year.
You're not going to go, okay. No. But your church is a group of still is going to go? Is that the case?
There's a few, not very many.
Okay. That's good.
Jonathan's going to be there for 2 full weeks.
Jonathan Shuttlesworth is going to be on Barbados for 2 full weeks.
2 full weeks. He always goes for 1 week.
He's just 1 week, yeah. Now this time he's going for 2 weeks.
They're hoping to double their crowd. We had like 8,000 people last year.
I know, and you had it in that big arena last year.
They want to have 15,000 this year.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
By the way, Holy Week is going to be special this year.
Oh, yeah? How's
from
that?
From Easter?
Yeah.
From
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday to Easter.
Uh-huh.
Our church is sponsoring Jonathan Shuttlesworth in Dillsburg.
Wow.
And our church is way too small for him now. He brings too big a crowd.
Yeah,
we're renting a big tent, and you're going to put it up at the Harz Outdoor Movie.
Oh, the movie theater.
Yes.
Outdoors. That's just in the east side of Dillsburg along Route 15.
Right. And
right at that corner,
we're putting up this big tent, going to hold 500 people, and if we raised all the flaps, we could put 1,000 people at Harz.
Fantastic.
And we will end on Easter Sunday morning. That's going to be the biggest thing that hit Dillsburg.
The famous Jonathan Shuttlesworth.
In many a long time.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, we have to get more information on that and put that on the airwaves, our community bulletin board. All right, well, thank you. You know, getting back to the anointing, Jesus knew that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would enable the disciples to stand against anything. Remember, we talked about that in the past, too. That's why Jesus was not shocked when Peter denied him 3 times. When the disciples fled at the crucifixion, Jesus was not hopeless. He knew the Holy Spirit. He knew what the anointing would do within their lives. And he instructed to tarry in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. And that was enough to get the job done. Jesus was not merely trying to make the disciples strong. He was trying to make them aware of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not necessarily energy and enthusiasm. It is not motive. It is not excitement. It is not noise. It is not exuberance or strength. The anointing is the power of God to handle any enemy presence in your life. That's what the anointing is all about. You see, the Holy Spirit also imparts specific anointings at particular moments of need, whatever your case might be. 100 miracles can happen simultaneously when the anointing is released through agreements and unity. So it can happen to a group of people, not necessarily just an individual. The Holy Spirit selects his anointing. He chose Saul to be the first king of Israel. Then he selected David to follow the kingship of Saul. That's an anointing. You see, the anointing you respect is the anointing that grows in your life. When you respect the anointing for healing, the miracle of healing begins to flow. When you respect the anointing for financial breakthrough, chains will fall off of your life. Ideas and favor will flow like currents, mighty and unstoppable. When you treasure the anointing for revelation, knowledge will explode within your life like a volcano. Jesus is trying to tell us that all through the scriptures. The anointing upon you is for the ministry to others. Jesus felt this anointing when he asked his disciples, who had touched his clothing because virtue had gone out of him. When his disciples said that many people had been touching him, he simply said, "Somebody touched me with a purpose in mind. Something has been emptied from me. That is the purpose of the anointing. The power of God is in you to deliver those captive and break down those prison doors." I read that as a segment that I uncovered here some time ago about the anointing and to others and how that works. And so I've shared those words that Jesus said himself. It's very powerful to have this anointing, regardless of what the situation might be in your life. You see, you can walk in the anointing every moment of your life. As you yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you can begin to live under the anointing. The Spirit of God is the source of that power. He qualifies you. He schedules you. He assigns you. He turns you into a deliverer instead of a captive. You see, the disciples knew this. "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." Mark chapter 16. Remember reading that? Here, let me read a little segment that I uncovered. I think it'd be a worthwhile story to share with you. "There are special times that an uncommon anointing is placed upon you for a specific reason." Here's a little story. I'm going to read this. "After a church service one night, the pastor met me in his office with tears in his eyes. 'My brother, you don't really know how God used you tonight,' he cried. As he shared with me private and confidential situations existing in his church, I realized that the Holy Spirit had given me words very uncommon that night for a reason. This man of God needed an uncommon demonstration of the care and compassion of God. He needed a turnaround. So the Holy Spirit placed an unusual mantle on me for that service, to solve that specific problem in that specific church. Heaven came down and chains were broken that night." You see what that's talking about? That little story I just read goes to show how powerful the Holy Spirit can be. We can be speaking right now on the radio, Dave, to people that we've never met and perhaps never will meet. They could be going down the interstate highway and just happen to turn on 91.3 FM. And we could be saying something that leads them to the word of the Lord, saving their life. And that in turn could change the world that we live in. That anointing is very powerful.
I think a lot of people don't understand how powerful the anointing is. In order to know God, in order to know his glory, we have to reach out in salvation form to get into our lives a powerful source of energy and the future. So many times people don't know what to do to get Holy Spirit in their life and to be able to see the glory of God. They don't know what the glory of God is. You know, if you're listening right now and you don't know what the glory of God is, it's salvation. When you get down in a church or in your home on your knees and you say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to know you. Give me what I need to cleanse myself and become brand new." And you know what? In that moment, when God delivers you, you will see his glory. Never leave you. Once you get a real born-again experience on your knees in front of God with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will see his glory, and God will become somebody so magnificent to you that praying every day will be a joy, not a troubled time, not a thing that you want to try to get out of. It's something that God will make clear and precious to you. And the Holy Spirit helps us every day. And the Holy Spirit helps us every day to choose what we're going to talk to you about. He brought to us this building. How many buildings did we look at before we got this one?
Many, yes.
We went there, "No, this isn't it. No, not that. No, look over here." And all of a sudden, we went, and somebody said, "You better go and look at this one."
That's right.
And
that's the anointing.
Smack on.
Dave, Pastor Dave, you are a remarkable speaker. I think you've made your point very clearly. Engineers letting us know our time is limited. Let me share a final closing thought here. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you for the work he has called you to do. So ask. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that receiveth findeth. And he that findeth knocketh and the door shall be opened. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. That's where it says that. So the opportunities are right there. It's in the scripture. We don't have to take our word for it. Treasure the moment the Holy Spirit anoints and does something specific and unique through you. Do not laugh it off. Do not tease about it. Do not elaborate or discuss it at length with the wrong people. Humbly thank him for the privilege of being used to bring healing to the broken. In the name of Jesus, I pray forever that you will remember this. The Holy Spirit is the source of all the anointing for your life. David, would you close, please?
Hey, the Holy Spirit always gives us moments of victory over the devil and his mess. Those things he wants to bring into your life. What kind of a day are you having? What's going to happen when your family gets together tonight? You need help from God, and he sends his Holy Spirit to say, I'll overcome everything that's coming against you. That's the way I'd live today. Do it, and you'll see God will make your home a blessing to live in.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye for now.
See you later. Bye-bye.